Going to read from that second chapter, from the second chapter, and then verses 10 through 18. Will you hear these words? It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified all, have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you, and again I will praise your name. And again, here I am, the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared these things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had come like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. From this word this morning, we draw then this subject: rejoice, Jesus has come. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Joy to the world! The Lord has come. When I first realized that Christmas was on a Saturday and we would be back together on Sunday in worship, I realized that in the midst of celebration and the sharing of presents, the wonderful meal and the wonderful desserts, there is still this question, especially then for persons of faith: what does the birth of Christ mean to me? It is a question not only for the day after Christmas. It is a question not only for when we are in church on Sunday. What does the birth of Christ mean to me? Is the question for every day. I say that because we want and need to learn more about Christ. And in learning more, we become disciples. It is a huge mistake to say, I know all I need to know. I believe that this is why the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, has had so much success. Because, and this is in Warren's words, he has said, people are looking for a simple way to face themselves and then to learn and to grow. John Wesley said, I am moving on to perfection. It is a mistake to say that I have arrived. I used to sing in Sunday school as a child, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. What does the birth of Christ mean to us is the question for every day. I also must say that to seek an understanding of this question, is to have some kind of foundation to address all that is going on around us. As I began to reflect on this sermon, I was mindful that the most serious attack on our soldiers in Iraq, the soldiers and those civilians, had taken place in that facility. And so, with all that is going on around us, some people are looking for the answer in being negative and skeptical of all whom they encounter. Since the presidential election, we speak now of the division instead of unity. The division being defined in, I'm living in a red state and you're living in a blue state. The list of crises and paradox can go on and on. And so I want to declare there is something about this question. What does the birth of Christ mean to me that speaks to what we are experiencing? We can begin with this point, that Christ was made like us. Hear verse 14 again. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Theologian Frederick Buechner wrote these words, "The claim that Christianity makes for Christmas is that at a particular time and place, God came to be with us. God came to be with us himself." He goes on to say, "The Father of all mercies put himself at our mercy." It is something to think about. Christ knew joy and sorrow. Christ knew tears and laughter. Christ knew life and death. Christ is like us. And so the possibility is real that we can become like him. The next part of this is through Christ, we have an understanding of death. And verse 15 said, For free those whose lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. It was kind of difficult leading up to Christmas that over the past 2 weeks, I had been a part of 3 funerals. And in the midst of grief and sorrow, one of the ongoing things about death is to fight that feeling that somehow death is final. For death is not the last word. The word comes to us that we must hold on to Christ's victory. Yes, there will be tears, especially as you think of the difference that that person made in your life. But there is victory. It has been said, what death did to Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did to death. Do you hear that? What Jesus did, what death did to Jesus, is nothing compared to what Jesus did to death. A poet wrote these words as he thought about heaven. And he said this, "What must it be like to step on the shore and find it heaven? To take hold of someone's hand and find its God's. To rise above the grave. To rise above loneliness and the turmoil of earth into unbroken calm. To wake up and find it glory." Paul would say, there is nothing in life, nothing in death, that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What does the birth of Christ mean to us? There is victory over death. I also wanted to say that through the birth of Christ, we can overcome temptation. I thought that we had been together long enough that I could share a secret with you. So here goes. I gave up drinking beer at 6 years old. I was visiting my grandparents, and my uncle had left a can in the refrigerator. Like any six-year-old, I said, okay. So I snuck into the refrigerator, and I had a drink. When I finished throwing up, and when my grandmother got through with me, I've never had a desire to taste any since. I wish all temptations were that easy to overcome. There is a quote that says, "Have you ever noticed that when we decide to do something wrong, the means are so readily available?" Temptation is always present. For myself, I experience it most of all in wanting to try and control everything. And so to let go. To let go and to take a risk. To let go and to step out on faith. Or in other words, to let go and really practice what you preach. The temptation is to do the very opposite. And the more you try to do what is right, the more temptation comes. But we do not have to yield. Is that right? We do not have to yield. Verse 14 said, "Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those overcome who are being tested." Temptation will come, but we can say no. And so what does Jesus mean in our life? What does this birth in the manger, what does it mean? What does it mean to us? One final thought then. I believe that as we are seeking, as we are growing, as we are searching, and I believe, if I might just say, that is very much the challenge for us as Burns United Methodist Church right now. To move from one place to the next. to move from that sense of truly, truly being alive and in mission and in service throughout the whole world, to move to that place. Now is a time for seeking, for growing, and searching. I believe that as the answer for the growing and the seeking and the searching, I believe that as the testimony for this period within our life, this period within the church, I believe the word comes. Rejoice! Rejoice! Jesus has come. So let it be in your life and in my life and in our life together. Amen. Amen.